Welcome to the first episode of 2020 of the LCJ Q&A podcast. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. Thank you for listening. Pixar is back in the Best Animated Short Film Oscar race. It is one of the 10 finalists for this category. You know, the nominee voting is going on right now, and the short that's in there is terrific. It's called Kit Bull, and joining me right now is the writer-director, Rosanna Sullivan, and the producer, Catherine Hendrickson. Ladies, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having us. Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations on being one of the 10 finalists for the Best Animated Short Film category. Rosie, honestly, how does this feel?
It feels very surreal. I feel like we won the lottery, and you know, we were tempering our expectations beforehand just because of just the sheer amount of quality shorts from around the world, like the record number of shorts that were in contention this year, so including other Spark shorts. So we're just very humbled, or I'm very humbled and still
honored.
Processing. Yeah, and honored.
Yeah, Kat, I'm sure you feel the same way.
Oh, definitely. I think for us, the first thing that we were working towards was just making the short and making the short as good as we possibly could make it. And now just to see the reception it's received around the world and to be included on this list, it's really surreal.
Yeah, wow, yeah, 38 million views as of now on YouTube. We'll get into more of that in a little bit. Rosie, you've been at Pixar for several years as a story artist on Monsters University, Incredibles 2. You were actually Annie-nominated for your storyboarding on The Good Dinosaur. But this Spark Shorts program is getting a lot of attention and has been over the last year or so. When did this program at Pixar come into your view?
It came into my view, honestly, with the first Spark short. Oh, sorry, I'm assuming just in general when I found out about the program, not so much about Kit Bull specifically, but I first found out about it when I heard that Brian Larson was working on a short called Smash and Grab, and I didn't even know what the Spark Shorts was, or I don't even think it was called Spark Shorts yet. So I just knew that the studio was trying to... trying to get a program off the ground that would start to highlight kind of diverse voices in the studio and voices that normally would not get into these leadership or directing roles as quickly through the normal pipeline at Pixar. So Brian Larson was the first, and then Kristen Lester, when she made Pearl, was the second person who was approached to direct a Spark short. And I'm very close to Kristen as well, and so it was just really exciting to know that like the studio was actually serious about kind of making a more indie shorts program.
Yeah, you definitely get that unique vibe when you watch these shorts. This short, Kit Bull, is certainly very unique. It's the story of a stray kitten and a pit bull, and their relationship goes in some surprising directions. Are you ladies animal lovers? Is that sort of how the inspiration of this came to be?
Definitely.
I'd say so, yeah. I've seen a few cat videos out there.
You need to confess to the origin of this, Rosie.
I have a whole YouTube playlist of hundreds of cat videos, but I think it all, like, I was that person that was going to cuteoverload.com back in the day in the early 2000s, like, almost every day for my fix, I just loved animals. Since I was born, but I also originally was kind of on a path to become a veterinarian when I was in college, so it's just been a part of my life that I've just really cared about, and also the fact that I can't have pets right now just motivated me even more to obsess over them in this medium.
You know, one of the things that really stands out when people watch this short is the fact that it is hand-drawn. I mean, that is so different from everything that Pixar has done before, a lot of things that Pixar has done before. Was that an instant decision for you, Rosie, to make this a hand-drawn Pixar short?
Yeah, that was always from the very beginning my choice, just because the primary reason being nostalgia. I just grew up loving the craft of 2D animation. If it was hand-drawn, I would watch it no matter what or where or how much budget it had as a kid, and I still feel that way for sure. Like, I'm just always naturally drawn to hand-drawn, but also originally I thought that I would probably be doing the bulk of the animation before it became a Spark short, because It was more of a side project that we were just doing on our own free time with no budget. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of assumed that I would have to do a lot of the shots myself. But fortunately, I didn't have to do all of it. That's the spark short.
That they came into view. That's good. Yeah, my all-time favorite movie is Disney's Beauty and the Beast, the 91 animated classic, and the gorgeous hand-drawn animation and all those sequences. Wow, yeah, just amazing. And Kat, I guess I'm curious to know, because Rosie's vision was to make this hand-drawn, was that something that you and everybody else at Pixar immediately said okay to, or was there, I don't know, some conflict in, about, you know, should we really go with hand-drawn for this?
Well, what I love about the Spark Shorts program is that the studio is very supportive in using those shorts to explore new technology and new styles and, you know, new storytellers, and so this kind of fell perfectly into that category of something that, of course, the studio hadn't really done 2D before, but they were willing to let us take a risk and figure out how to achieve a 2D animated short leveraging the 3D pipeline that we have. And luckily, we were able to build a stellar leadership team on the short who all had that same kind of excited problem-solving approach, and so it all kind of fell into alignment quickly.
Good. I'm glad. The early portion of the short is the kitten and the pit bull trying to get along with each other. It's that classic dynamic, but then you realize that there are a couple of misfits that really need each other. Was it intentionally designed, Rosie, for the kitten to be small with big eyes and for the pit bull to be large with small eyes?
That's a great question.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, well, the kitten was more or less based off of myself in some ways.
Huh.
Kind of neurotic, hermit-like self. And so I always, you know, I guess when I think of cats, I think of the essence of them as, like, a lot of their eyes. And so I wanted to just capture that expressiveness with the kitten because I wasn't going to use it, the rest of its face for kind of obvious emotion. So I had to rely a lot more on the eyes to convey a lot of the emotion and the body language, of course. And then with the pit bull, I think there's just, like, a defining characteristic of pit bulls is their smaller, wide-apart eyes that I find very distinct, so I wanted to capture that as well. And then part of the sort of dynamic that I wanted to play with in the beginning was this not really being able to connect with the pit bull at first, because we are so much in the kitten's point of view, and with the kitten for much of the beginning, that you're not supposed to really see what the pit bull's feeling until they actually get closer to each other.
Right. Yeah, you bring in this dramatic element of animal abuse into the equation, and you do it with such subtle power. I found it very moving, very surprisingly deep, and it really works. What was your overall approach, Rosie, in bringing this element in without going overboard with it?
Well, a huge part of that I felt was just really relying on my crew and the leadership in my crew to kind of be my taste filters and also kind of my story brain trust that I handpicked, Kat and I handpicked together, to sort of just give me feedback and their impressions of what's working, because they knew where I was trying to go, and I was trying to go for, I mean, obviously a shorter film than what I originally had, but a lot of the help actually did come from our editor, Katie Schaefer Bishop, and I had to really rely on her to help me tell the story without saying too much. And so she was really good at taking what was unnecessary out of the short and, you know, obviously just trimming it down to a producible level, but also with her sort of storytelling taste, she was able to basically tell me, like, you don't need this. You can actually convey a lot more by not showing some elements. So when I was sitting there in the editing room with Kat and Katie and fretting, oh, my God, are people going to get this? They were very supportive of that.
Good, yeah, it's tight and very to the point, and it all comes across. We're talking Kitbull right now here on the LCJ Q&A, one of the 10 finalists for the Best Animated Short Film Oscar. As I mentioned earlier, Kitbull debuted online back in February of last year, and it currently has around 38 million views on YouTube, which is just incredible. Kat, as you've been seeing the numbers grow over the past year, you know, how has it been for you seeing that and hearing the reception from people who have been watching it?
It's been absolutely surreal, and one of Rosie's and my favorite thing to do is to also go online and look at all the amazing fan art that's been drawn for the short.
Yeah,
it's our little guilty pleasure.
That's to me been the measure of success, is how much fan art we've been getting.
Yeah. It just shows the power of the story and how people from all over the world have been able to connect to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, fan art, yeah.
The fan art out there. Believe me, every piece of fan art.
You've gotten sent a lot or shown a lot or just searching on the web?
We lurk.
All of the above.
Well, that's good. That means people are responding to it, and maybe if you become one of the 5 nominees for the Animated Short Film Oscar and it's shown in that presentation in theaters all over the country, then maybe even more fans will be giving you some fan art. That'll be great. You know, Catherine, through what Rosie and the other filmmakers have been able to do with these shorts, with the Spark Shorts program at Pixar, where do you see this program specifically going in the next 5 years? I know Disney Plus is coming in and showing these shorts as well. Honestly, where do you think this program is going to go in the next 5 years?
I think that this program is going to continue to discover amazing voices within the studio. And as Rosie was saying before, it's often the younger talent who wouldn't be getting the chance to direct a feature in the next 5 to 10 years, but will get a chance to direct a short. And they have life experience that's very relevant and can reach, you know, a young audience, which is great for Disney Plus. And I think that Disney's going to continue to leverage that and seek out, you know, future talent that they want to continue to invest in. And the folks who are directing Spark Shorts are likely going to be your feature directors down the road.
Yeah, we love seeing that talent out there, absolutely. So the Oscar nominations are right around the corner, January 13th. Rosie, what would it mean to you for Kitbull to be an animated short nominee and to get to go to the Academy Awards?
Gosh, I would be pinching myself constantly, but it would also mean that, like, all those blood, sweat, and tears that everyone on this crew and everyone of our families that supported us and our friends who supported us, that it was actually worth it, you know? I mean, obviously it was worth it even before, but that, like, that it's being acknowledged and recognized. And so it would mean a lot.
You got the attention with the Spark Shorts program. You got the views. You got the fan art. Let's see if you maybe can get the gold statue, too. Best of luck with Kitbull. Rosie and Kat, thank you so much for being on the LCJ Q&A today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm Lights, Camera, Jackson. You want to watch Kitbull again? Go on YouTube. It is there, Disney Plus as well. And listen to more of these LCJ Q&A podcast episodes at lights-camera-jackson.com, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. See you next time.